Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hands have bread enough to spare? But here I am, dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger, and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come home, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you. I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you've never even given me a young goat so I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Are you the youngest in your family, or the oldest, or a middle child? Which child has it the hardest, the easiest? My wife and I go back and forth on that one, as we're on opposite ends of the spectrum. The prodigal son in today's gospel is a familiar story to many. As the parable unfolds, the younger brother asks for his share of the inheritance while the father is still alive. Professor Arlind Hultgren comments that this is remarkable, even shocking. What the son wants his father to do is an affront to the father. In the ancient world as today, an inheritance is received only at the death of the parent. Therefore, the son's request is amount to saying, "Dad, I wish you were dead." But the father gives in and gives him his share of the inheritance, and the prodigal son goes off and wastes the money on partying and living a life that the father would not approve of. Soon the money runs out, and the prodigal son finds himself caring for pigs. Feeding pigs would be bad itself for a Jew, but to consider joining the pigs at the trough shows how desperate he had become. He decides he'd be better off back at home, asking his father to take him back. If he got treated like one of the hired hands by his father, it would be better than where he is now. The father has no idea why the son is coming down the road. He doesn't even speculate about his son's motive. He simply sees the son coming and runs to meet him. Hultgren reminds us that in ancient times a dignified man does not run. This father does not act like a normal father. The son starts to confess the story he has rehearsed about how he's not worthy to be his son and that he has sinned, but his father will have none of that. He cuts him off so that he can give instructions to the servants to plan the banquet. It doesn't matter why the son returned. He doesn't wait for his son to express remorse before restoring him to full status in the household. It doesn't matter that he squandered his inheritance. The father embraces the son. Is this what grace looks like? A grace so eager to give and receive and restore? Aren't those who do what is right, who live by the rules, the ones to be rewarded? The prodigal son is a loser. He's lost everything and comes home begging to be treated as a servant. Is this the way that God treats losers? This story is offensive, or perhaps even scandalous, the way the father welcomes home the prodigal son. Coming home at rock bottom was all he had to do. Perhaps Jesus' point is that even scoundrels are joyfully welcomed into God's household. Just pointing oneself towards home is enough. It unleashes God's welcome. It's comforting to think that perhaps any motive will do as long as it leads you to God. While the party is going on in the house, the father leaves and searches for his older son. He pleads with him to join the celebration, but is unsuccessful. The older son feels like he's being taken advantage of, and is resentful that his younger brother gets preferential treatment. His reaction is understandable, and truth be told, many of us might agree with him. What is fair about this loser brother being rewarded? The oldest son doesn't know how to react after his father forgives the prodigal son. When people are forgiven, often others don't know how to act. Forgiveness isn't fair. Yet the father doesn't cast the older son away. He goes out and tries to bring him to the banquet. It's interesting that in Luke, people eat a lot. There's a feeding of the 5,000, meals that Jesus shares with tax collectors and sinners, going to eat at Zacchaeus' house, the road to Emmaus. All of these meals created opportunities for new beginnings shared around a table. The food never runs out, and with Jesus, the wine never runs out either. It seems that food, a meal, a banquet, usually brings people together. You've seen it happen at Thanksgivings or Christmases. Some type of community is formed. Perhaps you've gone to a meal or potluck or a reception and didn't recognize anyone to sit with, and you begin to feel uncomfortable. And then thankfully someone invites you to sit with them. It's a joy to be around a table where you feel welcomed, where the conversation flows, where the sound of laughter is heard. I think that is what the father had hoped it would be like around the table with both of his sons. But it wasn't to be. The prodigal son is welcomed back, invited to sit at the table that he doesn't think he deserves to be at, and the older son refuses to join them. Of course, things like that happen around our tables as well. Things go south and people don't enjoy each other's company. Sometimes a fight erupts or feelings are hurt and relationships are stressed. What happens when you don't feel welcome at the table? What happens when the holiday meal doesn't go as planned? Or what happens when someone gets up from that holiday table or refuses the invitation altogether? It's obvious that something is missing, or someone. I wonder who might be the prodigal son that is missing in your family. Who is a prodigal son that might be missing in this community or the community at Luther Heights? In the gospel reading, the prodigal son starts to apologize, but the father cuts him off. It doesn't matter. He doesn't even want to hear it. He simply wants to rejoice that his son, who once was lost, has now returned. Hopefully that will be the welcome for those who come to King of Glory or to Luther Heights. That sense of welcome is one of the goals at Luther Heights. I'm thankful that some youth have experienced that. One camper wrote, "This year when I walked into my cabin and saw the other campers, I was immediately surprised. I thought these girls are so different from me. I won't get along with them. But the week has changed me. God taught me that each person is unique and special, a prize in God's eyes. Now I have 9 amazing new friends that share the same love for God. This week has been a spiritual journey I'll never forget." Another shared, "Camp is a great place to express your feelings and not have anyone make fun of you. It's a chance to show my true colors without fear of rejection." I can't promise you that every camper who comes to Luther Heights has that same experience. The fact is that none of us are perfect, nor our churches, nor our organizations. The fact is, not all gatherings, not all homecomings, not all meals are joyful. Not all families are reconciled. Yet the Father's deep and abiding love is for you and for everyone missing at the table. We all have some stressed or broken relationships longing to be restored. their broken families longing for better days, for reconciliation. And that is the hope of the Father, the tender longing of God for you and your families and your relationships. It's unfortunate but understandable that the prodigal story doesn't end happy. The oldest is angry. Perhaps all is not well in the prodigal son's story of the family. And perhaps all is not well in God's family. People are missing from our families and our congregations. Not everyone feels welcome. Not everyone is willing to accept the invitation, for whatever reason, to come home. However, at this table, the Lord's table, all are welcome. Not just the ones we think deserve a place or should be invited, or the ones we're glad to see, all are welcome. The more often we come to this table, the more deeply we realize how much we have been forgiven, the more we practice forgiveness, the more likely it will be that all will feel welcome at this table. Our calling is simple. As David Loos wrote, we are to be a welcoming place for celebrating the homecoming each week of the prodigals, including you and me, and driving away all thoughts of who deserves a place at the table. You are welcome at the table and loved by God, whether you've wasted opportunity after opportunity to care for yourself or your neighbor, or if you've been quietly working away faithfully for years, decades, wondering if your efforts will be noticed. It doesn't matter whether you've had a lifelong relationship with God or have just started to check out who God is, or even if you aren't sure that God exists. God's love is for you in this meal, offering you forgiveness, new beginnings, and hope for the future. You are always loved and welcomed at God's table. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Hopes and dreams and visions, rock the faith.